Take your Bibles this morning for Sunday school. We'll be going to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. Now, we're going to look at the glorified body. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15, of course. There's some information we'll look at through the Gospels about the glorified body and some of the other books in the New Testament to give us a couple of things. But that'll be the topic for our study here this morning in this morning's Sunday school. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll just jump right into the topic of our glorified body. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here. We do pray for each and every one that's here this morning that you might open our hearts and minds, Lord God, to your word, that your word might go forth this morning, that you would just make the teaching simple and plain and easy to see and easy to understand. Lord, give us some encouragement this morning about this glorified body. We thank you for the promise of it. We thank you, Lord God, that one day we have this waiting for us. And Lord, we do pray that it might be very soon, Lord God, as we continue to live here on this earth and these wretched bodies and just struggle and do the things that are difficult, Lord God. We do pray that you might just help us, Lord, in the things that you would have us to do. With this message, we do pray for Brother Welders. He's traveling in Idaho today, and I do pray that you bless them there, Lord. I don't know of the preaching schedule for this morning, but we do pray that you bless those things. Help us, Lord God, this morning. Be with those, Lord, that will still be trying to get here for the morning service, and we do pray that you just give us a good day here in your house. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we take up reading in verse number 35, and we'll read the passage real quick, and then we will kind of get into the study. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 55, the Bible asks the question, or Paul asks the question, he's quoting what man says. He says, "But some man will say, how are the dead raised up?" Well, we know how they're raised up, and we might deal a little bit with that in our study today. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ will raise up your mortal bodies, according to Romans chapter number 8. But so, how are the dead raised up? But then the second question is, and with what body do they come? So there we talk. That's where we're going to get our thought for our study today. So with what body do they come? Now, he says in verse 36, "Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened or made alive, except it die. And that which thou sowest not, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now you say, why did you read all the way to the end? Well, that verse there in verse number 58 has always been one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Many times if I'm asked to sign a Bible, or when I sign a note or a card or something, you know, that I'm writing, and put a scripture reference on it, I correspond with some prisoners in Alabama from where I had prison ministry there. And many times if I, when I sign the letter there, the correspondence, I will make a reference to that verse, that last verse. And that is a great verse in the Bible. It says, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, what's interesting is the Bible always has a context, and you have to keep things in their context. And many times, we get excited, and even for teaching purposes sometimes, we jerk a verse out of its context and use it. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, that gets us into trouble. And this verse is placed neatly right here at the end of the context, dealing with the resurrection. Why? Because if there is one reason that we can be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, it is because of the promise that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That promise is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will one day be resurrected, and we have a glorified body. We have a promise. We have a future. We have a reward if we are, you know, for doing these things. So, that ought to encourage us this morning to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, let's go back and look at this glorified body. Verse 35, it says, and with what body do they come? Now, I know that there are many, many, many questions in all saved people's mind, right, about that glorified body. And you know, sometimes, I try not to dwell on it too much. Because, you know, we should dwell on it a little bit, but you dwell on it too much and you might get frustrated because you know, there's not a whole lot in the Bible about this glorified body. There are some things and we're going to try to look at those this morning. But I mean, have you ever just sat around and wondered, what am I going to look like in heaven? I know some of you are thinking, well, I sure hope you look better than you do right now, you know, right? Talking about me. I mean, we wonder that. You know, I've had, over and over and over and over again, people ask me all the time, hey, am I going to recognize you? Am I going to run up and say, oh, Brother Tony, I'm so happy to see you. Or maybe somebody's going to run up and say, oh, Brother Tony, I can't believe you made it. All those things, whatever. You know, are we going to recognize one another? Now, you know, there's a lot of unanswerable questions. You know, exactly what is this body going to look like? Well, the Bible gives us a few hints, and we're going to look at those things this morning and try to maybe answer a few questions, but I promise you, you probably won't get all of your questions answered. And you know what? The beautiful thing is, look at the illustration. Now, Paul says here, he says, with what body do they come? And then notice he gives a quick illustration in verse 36. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. So in other words, first off, you got to die to get it. Now, there is another way to get the glorified body. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But he first says, you know, the resurrection body, because that's the big question in this chapter. I mean, he even addresses back there in the first part of the chapter, he addresses those folks that say there is no resurrection. And a big group of those people were the Sadducees in the Bible. They taught that there was no resurrection from the dead. And so that's some of the teachings that were going on. And Paul addresses this. And he says, look, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus wasn't resurrected. And if Jesus wasn't resurrected, then there's no way possible that you're going to be resurrected. And if you're not going to be resurrected, then there's no hope whatsoever. And we might as well just give up and go home and find something else to do, right? All right, but we know that those things happened, and we know there is a resurrection. So, he says, with what body do they come? Now, he gives an illustration, verse 37. And that which thou sowest not, that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Now, the illustration is, for all those that plant, or anybody that's farmed or planted, or maybe you ladies that like to plant and have shrubbery and plants and all that good stuff, you know, I grew up hating that stuff because my grandmother, she believed that if there was one square inch of the porch that didn't have a plant on it, then you needed to plant something else. And, you know, in the summertime, I had to water those things. I mean, it was just over and over and over. But anyway, so, you know, but I remember you plant. Now, the seed is usually a little bitty thing, right? Now, sometimes seeds are big, you know, I know seeds vary in size, but when you put that seed in the ground and then that thing shoots up out of there, it doesn't look at all like what you planted, does it? I mean, the tree does not look like the little seed that comes out of the apple, right? As a matter of fact, the seed itself don't even look like the apple that produced it. But then, so God says here, now, so God says, it's going to be a different kind of body. You say, well, there's going to be some things about this body I don't understand. Hey, there's some things about it that I don't understand. There's things about my physical body I don't understand right now, and it's not glorified. So surely there's going to be some things about our glorified body that we don't understand, but we accept them because the Word of God says it is so. Now notice here, you say, well, then exactly what's it going to be? So here's, you know, right off the bat, we're going to go ahead and give you, for all the questions that we can't answer, here's your verse. Look at verse 38. Here's your verse to answer all your questions about the glorified body that you can't answer. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. And to every seed his own body. In other words, God's going to give you a body. You may not know all the things about it, but guess what? He's going to give you a body. It'll please Him. That'll be all you need to know for right now. Right? I mean, really and truly, we could stop right there, you know, but then we just have to talk to one another until preaching starts, so we better continue on, right? But no, you could stop right there because the glorified body, it pleases Him. And if, you know, if nothing else, now, you say, well, shouldn't we please God? Yeah, we should strive to please God. That's our purpose, right? That's the very most purpose that we have is to please Him. That's why we were created, for His pleasure, according to Revelation. So, that is our duty. That is our job. Now, and it's hard to do in this body, but granted, if nothing else, you should note this. In your glorified body, you will be able to fulfill the original purpose of creation. Because he gives it a body that pleases Him. And that was what Adam was put here for. If you read over there in Revelations, we were created for His pleasure. So at least know this, that one day in your body, and not this body here, but in that glorified body, we'll please God, you know? Right now, Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You know, Paul talks about the struggle that we have with the body there in Romans chapter number 7, but one day we get delivered from that, and so I look forward to that. Now, let's look at a few things else. So notice some things here. Let's read down through the text. If you look over there in verse number 42, so the first thing we see there, it's a body given by God. It'll please Him. In verse number 42, the Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So another characteristic about this new body, it's incorruptible. Now, you know what they say about man? They say all men are corruptible, right? You know, what do they say? Absolute, yeah, absolutely. And absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? Yeah, whatever the saying is. Y'all know what it is. I can't remember it this morning. But, you know, it corrupts. And that's what happens. That's what's wrong with man. You're corrupt. You know why you have problems? Because you're corrupt. Say, well, that was real lovely of you. It's true, you know. I mean, let me ask you something. There's a proverb over there. It talks about when somebody comes to you and presents their cause, they always present it in a good light. You know why? Because they're corrupt. You see, that's our problem. We're corrupt, you know? You go to the pastor, well, you know what your real problem is, but you try to present it in a way that makes you look as good as possible, even though you know you're confessing to being corrupt. You know, it's funny. It's in our nature. You say, why? Because our body is corrupt. It is sown in incorruption, but it's raised. I'm sorry, it's sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. So it's an incorruptible body. That means it won't get sick. That means it won't never die. That means you won't have the problems. That means, you know, if God, let's just say whatever this body looks like, if it's handsome, it'll stay handsome. If it's pretty, it'll stay pretty. If it's in shape, it'll stay in shape. And you won't have to worry about doing that, right? That's a full-time job right now, just trying to keep yourself healthy, right, in this world. But hey, it's a body. It's incorruptible. I like that. So it's sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. Excuse me. It is raised in glory. That's why we call it a glorified body. It is raised in glory. It's a glorious body. But notice also, it is sown in weakness. That's why it dies. You know, the Bible says over there in Ecclesiastes that their man has no discharge in the war, in retaining the spirit. Nobody can retain the spirit when it's time for it to die. When the body dies, hey, why? Because it's weak. Your body is weak and it's frail. You know, you say, oh, well, no, my body's strong. I exercise. I got these young people, you know, and they're always telling me how strong they are and how much they exercise and how well they can do at athletics and sports and all that. You know, I mean, yeah, you can build the body up, but let me ask you something. You know, just lay on the couch for about a week and see how weak you get automatically. You know, it's amazing. You can spend a month working out and you spend 1 week on the couch and it's like you didn't even spend that month at all. Why? Because the body's weak. But notice, so it's sown in weakness. But it is raised in power. Now, it's raised by the power of the Holy Spirit. We mentioned that. But you know what? It's also going to be a very powerful body. And we're going to look at some of the things that it can do here in a minute. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So it's going to be different than what you have now. It's going to be a spiritual body. So the Bible's just giving us some things. We're just going through the text here and letting the Bible speak for itself. It is sown a natural body. Excuse me. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, notice here, there's going to be two ways that you can get this body. Say, what do you mean? Well, let's back up a minute. First off, this body is the product of salvation. If you go back to the beginning of the chapter, if you look there in verse number 1, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so this body is for saved people. I kind of got ahead of myself here, but this body is for saved people. Now, you got to remember, I know that Brother Welder has been teaching the covenants on Sunday morning, right? Is that what y'all been doing in the adult Sunday school, right? How far are y'all along in those? Are y'all done with them? Y'all have done them. Okay. All right. Well, then you understand that in the covenants, by the study on the covenants, that there's a division called the church age, right? And in the church age, salvation is different, right? Totally different than in any other age. Why? It's a special age. It did not even have to exist. The way the thing laid out. It's a result of the fact that Jews rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel going out into the Gentiles, those things. But as a result of that, there's some special things about the church age. And one of those is the new birth, you know. The new birth, the spiritual circumcision, being baptized into the body of Christ, being in the body of Christ, being a part of the bride of Christ, all those things. Now, also as a result, we get this glorified body. But it is for saved people only. It's, you know, you say, now, what about the lost people? Will they be resurrected in some kind of body? Sure. You know, the Bible says over in Revelations chapter 20 at the great white throne judgment, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, right? And so you see, because the soul itself has a bodily form. So there is a body that they have, but it's not the same one. You know, it's interesting. What about those Old Testament saints? Well, they're going to be resurrected one day. Now, they've got a body. It's interesting. Job said, in my flesh, I will see God. See, he, in my flesh, talking about his resurrection, he understood there was a resurrection, but he understood also about some flesh there. The Bible talks about David, you know, and some of the others being resurrected there. But notice, excuse me, in the millennium, there's resurrection. But our body, it's this glorified body, it's special, it's different. It's for the church age. It's for saved people. Now, we know this. Paul is talking to saved people here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is people that are saved by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the tribulation, they got a different gospel. There's the gospel of the kingdom that is preached once again. But this is here talking about folks from the church age being saved by the gospel of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the death, burial, and resurrection. So, therefore, it is for saved people. Now, when you die, you have the promise of being resurrected, right? That's the one way you get this body. You're going to die, and the Bible says, look down here, look down, let's see, is it in this one? Yes. Look down here in verse number 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Right? So you see, there's a way to get this, it's death. In other words, if you die, when the Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me, if you die before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, whenever He does come back, you're going to be raised, and that's where you get your glorified body. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now you say, well, do I not have a body when I go to heaven? Because the Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Of course you do. The soul goes to heaven. There is a bodily form. You have a body there. But this resurrection body is connected with that event that we call the rapture. Now, the other way is for those that are living at the rapture. They also get this body. So it's spoken of both ways. So we just wanted to make that clear. And notice here, this body in verse, well, we're in verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." See, the ones that are alive, they are changed. See, that's where that glory, so the body gets changed into this glorified body. And so notice here, it's changed, it's a glorified body, and then it says in verse 53, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now you see, this body here is connected with death. Right? Now I realize you say some people won't get it as a result of death. Some people get it as a result of being raptured out of here. But nonetheless, it's still connected with death. And why is that? Well, we go back to verse number 45 in our text and look at what it says here, this illustration of Adam. "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven." Now, so God makes an illustration here. He says there's a first Adam and there's a last Adam. Well, there's no question in our mind who is the first Adam, right? That's the easy one, right? You know, if we had a test this morning, who's the first Adam? That's the simple one. Of course, you know, when you word it that way, some people start thinking, I bet he's trying to trick us. There was somebody before Adam. No, that's what the kids, you know, they always say I'm tricking them on their test questions. And it's simple, right? Right, Philip? No. All right. But the first Adam is Adam. He's earthy. He's of the earth. But now, if you remember, Adam was created perfect without sin. Now, and so therefore, as a result of that, he could have eaten of the tree of knowledge. I mean, sorry. He could have eaten of the tree of life and he could have lived forever. But notice, we all know what happened. He chose not to. And because of that, death entered in. Now, jump back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 22. Look at this. For as in Adam, all die. See? In that first man, there's death. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So you see, in other words, the first Adam was Adam. But all we get from him is death. Wherefore as by sin, why can I never quote that verse? Wherefore as by sin, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12, right? That's what we get from Adam. We get death, and we get sin. And sin is, or the result of sin is death. Now, but notice, so as in Adam, all die. Now, if you want to see something, we're in Sunday school, so I like to always try to show you something very interesting about your Bible because it's important. Take your Bibles, look back over, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5. Now, this is important. You say, why is there a reference to the first Adam and the second Adam? Why is it important that Jesus is the second Adam? Adam, and Jesus is a quickening spirit. Well, it's important because that's where we get our resurrection body from. If the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't come, if we were not saved and in Him, this glorified body would not even be possible. So, as in Adam, all die. Look at Genesis chapter 5. Now, this is verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. There's only one other verse in the Bible that begins, there's only one other book in the Bible that has that phrase, so to speak, in it. There's only one other place where you see that. Now, holding your place here in Genesis and holding your place in 1 Corinthians, get another finger and go to Matthew chapter number 1. And I can't find Matthew. I know he's in there. Where are you at? Where's he at? First book of the New Testament. Don't you love it when your Bible won't cooperate? There it is. Now look at Matthew chapter 1. Now look at Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. Just show you something kind of neat here. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now we go back over, we look back real quick. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the generation of Adam. They're the only two people that that's said about in the Bible, in reference to that. This is the book of the generation, and it gives Adam, and then it says this is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Adam was the first Adam, and Jesus is the second Adam. That's what 1 Corinthians is talking about. But look at something very important. 1 Corinthians 15:22 said, as in Adam, what? All die. Now look at this genealogy. You want to understand that your King James Bible has some inspiration in it and is important? Look in this. Look at, look down there at verse number 5. And all the days that Adam, I'm back in Genesis, I'm sorry, Genesis 5:5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Look down there at verse number 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. Look up there at verse number 14. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. Notice that phrase, and he died? Everybody in this genealogy dies. Why? Because as in Adam, all die. This is said to be the book of the generations of Adam. Now jump over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, look in verse number 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begot Ursam. And Ursam begot Aram. And Aram begot Abinadab. And Abinadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Solomon. And Solomon begot Booz of Rockham. And Booz begot Obed of Ruth. And Obed and Jesse begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. And David begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Has anybody died in this one? No. You say, well, yeah, but all those people died. I know they did. But nobody dies in the genealogy. See, the wording, you say, why did God say they died in Genesis chapter 5? We all know they died. But why did He say they died? Because in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. And see, notice even your genealogy here, it hints at that. You say, I didn't know you could learn from genealogies. I hate reading the genealogies. I mean, just being honest. I mean, 2 Chronicles, ain't that your favorite book of the Bible to read? Ain't that the most favorite book of the Bible? Of course not. You know, we don't like reading that Bible. Why? So-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. We can't pronounce all the names, and we just begin to skip them. Sometimes I give them southern names, you know. John begot Jim, and Jim begot James, and James begot John, and, you know, so on and so forth. But anyway, but notice here, so, as in Adam, all die. Now let's go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. So, dealing with this glorified body. So, we get this glorified body. This body that we're going to get is a result of salvation, right? It's a result of being in Christ, because in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, you say, all right, what are some of these things? Well, look down there at verse number 49. I like this verse. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, looking at what it says about the glorified body. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. All right, so therefore we know we're going to get this image. Now, what is this image? Well, it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. This glorified body, this image, why? Because it's the last Adam, right? We've borne the image of the earthy. That's the first Adam. That's the body we all share, we all have right now. I mean, technically we don't share. I mean, we share the same body. You know what I mean. But, you know, we are one body. Well, we're not one. You know what I mean. I'll just move on from that. But, you know, we all have this earthy body. So we are of the earth. But that glorified body is the heavenly body. We have bore the image of the earthy. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now let's look at a couple other verses to go along with this. Philippians chapter number 3. So going to the right, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter number 3 in verse number 20. Just picking up some things here about the glorified body. So, what can we expect out of this body? Well, we know that it's going to be heavenly. We know that it's going to be connected to the image of Jesus Christ. We bore the image of the earthy. We will bear the image of the heavenly. Alright? For our conversation, verse 20, Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're not looking anywhere else but for the Lord Jesus Christ to come, but from heaven, right? Now look at verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? See it? That's why, that right there is why it's called in Scripture the glorified body. Because it's said to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So, now, let me ask you this. Do you think that would be His body that He had when He was on earth? Or the one that He had after He was resurrected? After He was resurrected. So that's going to give us some hints about what this glorified body looks like and what it does. Say, is it going to look like Christ? Well, I think in some shape, form, or fashion, yes. Why? Because He says here, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things into Himself. Now, one other verse that goes with this quite nicely in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So, what is this? What does this glorified body look like? I'm not 100% exactly sure, but it's the image of the heavenly. It's going to be connected to the image of Jesus Christ after His resurrection. We know that it's going to be incorruptible. We already read that. We already read that it's going to be in power. It's going to be a glorious body. It's going to be all those things. Now, notice here, in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. See, this is for saved people. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So whatever this glorified body is, it's going to be like Him, right? I mean, we've got two verses, you know, mouth of two witnesses there. We've got two verses that say it's going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. It's going to be like Him. All right, well, let's close out and let's look at some things that he did in the resurrection body. Now, I know one of the biggest things that's probably on your mind, and it's probably on my mind sometimes, is, you know, what kind of body will it be? It's said to be a spiritual body. All right, let's go over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 24. This is going to give us some answers. So, we know that it's not going to be his body that would like his body that was on earth. It's going to be the body that he had after his resurrection. His glorious body. All right? In Luke chapter 24, we see Jesus appear after his resurrection unto the disciples. And there's some things there about this body. First off, it is said to have flesh and bone. He said, wait a minute. I thought it was a spiritual body. It can still be a spiritual body and have flesh and bone, right? See, once again, we think it's not the same kind of flesh, right? Didn't 1 Corinthians say there's different flesh, you know, the celestial body, and then there's the, you know, but it still can be a body. You know, it's just a body without sin. You know, Adam had a body without sin once, did he not? See what I mean? So we get this, you know, a lot of times people get this illustration in their mind, oh, we're going to be like spirits. Well, we're going to be spiritual, but we're going to have a flesh and bone body. Why? Because our body is said to be like Christ. When Jesus appears in Luke chapter 24, and I'm in John, so that won't work. Notice in verse 36, and as they thus spake, talking about the disciples, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. So when Jesus was resurrected, and he to the disciples there, he had flesh and he had bones. It's not the same flesh and bones you got and I got now, but it is a flesh and bone body. Say, that's kind of wild. Yeah, it is. It's kind of a wild concept. When you think about, I mean, I'm telling you, the more you think about this, the wilder it gets. We say, well, I don't understand some of it. Well, there's a lot I don't understand, but that's why we have verse 38 in 1 Corinthians 15, right? Remember it said, it's a body that pleases God. That's all you got to worry about. All right? But, so there's something else. Now, as a flesh and blood body, even though it's spiritual, I said blood, I meant bone. As a flesh and bone body, is it, can you eat? Right? I mean, boy, that's a big question, right? I mean, that is the most important question in life, right? I remember one time there was a man in our church, and he was having chest pains. And he had been having chest pains and pains all in his back and between his shoulder blades, and he had been having them for months, and he went on a vacation, and he got up there and he got to hurting so bad that he couldn't stand it and he wouldn't go to the hospital, so he drove his fifth wheel 6 hours home, and he got home and he quit hurting. And so his wife liked to never got him to go to the doctor. And finally they checked him into the emergency room, and then they kept him overnight. And they said, oh, we don't see any problem, but we're going to do an arteriogram in the morning. And he was mad. I was up there visiting with him. He said, they won't let me eat. He said, it's going to be 12 hours. He said, it'll be lunchtime tomorrow before I can eat. And so I got up there the next morning. They rushed him. You know, they did the arteriogram. They wasn't in the arteriogram 30 minutes. They called down to the room. They said, y'all got to get up here. They rushed us up there. First time I'd ever been in a cath lab. You know, they rushed the whole family into the cath lab. He had 6 blockages, all better than 95%. They said, we have put a pump in his leg to take the pressure off the heart. We're going to have to do emergency surgery. And so we need, the wife was over there just signing papers like crazy. And I'm over there visiting with him. You know what he was talking about? He said, it's going to be another 24 hours before I can eat. And I'm looking at him like, seriously? I'm like, of course, I told him, I said, you know, I'd seen many people come out of open heart surgery, you know. I said, look, when you get out of this surgery, I said, you are, the last thing on your mind is going to be what you can eat. But that's a big question, right? Can we eat? Well, look in the passage. Jesus ate in verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So he ate before them. So guess what? You can eat. You say, well, will I have to worry about diabetes and eating sugar? No. You can drink all the sweet tea in heaven you want. You say, sweet tea's not going to be there. I beg to differ. There's a verse in there somewhere. Promise you, it's going to be there. But you can eat whatever you want. When you go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, you don't have to worry about being on a diet. You know? You say, yeah, but we're the bride. It doesn't matter. We're going to fit our whatever we wear just fine. But notice here, so it's a flesh and bone body. Now, you say, 1 Corinthians said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Exactly. You say, this body doesn't have blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Your blood's what's wrong with you. So there's a lot of things else you could teach there. But so what will this body look like? Well, it's going to look something like Jesus Christ. It's going to be a spiritual body. It's going to be a flesh and bone body. And, you know, that kind of blows my mind because we start thinking about in the millennium where we come back and reign with Christ. We're going to be on earth in these glorified bodies. And everybody else that's on earth is going to be in bodies just like you got now. It's going to be kind of like we're superhumans, right? You know, superhumans. That's what the comics are all about anyway, right? Everything comes from the Bible. Take your Bibles. Let me show you something else. Look over in Matthew if you would. No, you're in Luke. Let's go to Mark. That's the next book by going backwards. Let's go to Mark. Now, you say, well, will it be a powerful body? Yes. You say, this body can travel great distances in a short period of time. Great thing, you know. I mean, science always imitates the Bible. Many of you are old enough to remember the original Star Trek, right? What's the famous thing from Star Trek? Beam me up, Scotty. Be able to go from one place to the next, just like that. Now, that'd be cool. I mean, could you imagine? Of course, I'm sure if we had that ability today, TSA would probably get involved and you'd have to be screened before you could be beamed up still. But nonetheless, that would be great not to have to fly, you know. Oh, I need to go to Alabama today. Oh, beam me up, Mom. Beam me up, Dad, and just be transported over there, you know. That'd be awesome. Now, one day it's going to kind of be like that, so to speak. Look in Mark chapter number 9. Now, you say, how do we know this? Because we're looking at the body, the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we're said to be like. In Mark chapter 16, look at verse 9. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week. Where are y'all at? Come on, help me out. Get in the right place. Y'all can't read my mind? What's wrong? Y'all know I'm dyslexic with numbers. What did I say? Where did I have y'all? 9? I had y'all in 9? Well, that's where we are. Okay, clarification. Mark 16:9. Are we there? All right. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to who? Mary Magdalene. All right. Now, you say, why in the world is that important? Well, we got to look at it. Go over, if you would, to Matthew. Now we got to back up to Matthew. I promise it's Matthew 28. There's only 28 chapters, so it can't be 29. Matthew 28, all right. Now look at something here. In the end of the Sabbath, we're in verse 1, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchre. Now, if we put all the Gospels together, which we don't have time to do this morning, but they were Mary and some other women that came to the tomb, right? They came to the sepulchre of Jesus. All right, now, and of course, they see the angel. Now, look at what the angel says in verse 7. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Shall you see him? Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring word of his disciples. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Who did he meet? He met the ladies. Jesus met them saying, all hell, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They say, I thought he appeared to Mary first. Well, he did. Now go back over to John. It's Sunday school. We got to look at a lot of Bible, right? Say, why didn't God just put all this together? Because we'd never study if he did. All right, in John chapter number 20. In John chapter number 20, all right, in verse number 11, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. See, the other women left, Mary stayed behind. And she seeth two angels in white, sitting the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because ye have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Now, wait a minute. If we look at Matthew and we look at here, we got a problem. When Jesus appears to the women, he lets them touch him. They came and held him by the feet and worship him, right? But here he tells Mary, he says, touch me not. And we know from Mark that this is the first person he appeared to. You say, what happened? On that resurrection morning, he came up, he stopped, and made an appearance to Mary before he went all the way up. And in just a short manner of time, he was back down, and he appeared to the women that had left the tomb. But because he had already been up and applied to the blood to the mercy seat and made the atonement and then come back down, then they could touch him. See, you say, wow, he traveled a whole lot of distance in a whole short period of time. Exactly. That's the glorified body. That's the body we're going to have. You say, I can't wait for that. Sometimes I don't know if it'll be like this, but I think, you know, when we're serving with Christ, you know, reigning with Christ, and you're in that millennium, you're in that glorified body, don't you just want to mess with people? I mean, because we're going to be in a glorified body, and they're going to be now our mind won't think like this because it's a different mind and a different body. But right now, I think about it. I'm like, I'm going to mess with people. I'm going to appear right here, and then I'm going to jump over here, and I'm going to appear. I'm going to say, and they'll be like, whoa, what's going on? You know, nah, it won't work that way. But I mean, that's the way I think right now, right? Because but you say, how does it have the power to do that? Because it's a powerful body. You know, Jesus appeared to the disciples in John. And we don't have time, we're running out of time. But the Bible says the doors were shut and he appeared. That body can go through some walls. Boy, now that would really mess up people. Go to somebody's house to visit them and knock on the door and then just go right through. And then by the time they go out, they come out the door, you're not there. You tap them on the back of the shoulder. Hello. I mean, you know, that's the way my mind thinks, to mess with people. Ask my wife. I mess with her all the time, you know. The other day she came home from work. I heard the garage door open and I was fixing to go into the garage anyway. So I thought, oh, this would be a good chance to scare her. So I stood. Our laundry room goes into the garage. So I stood right there in front of the door, just as close as I could. And I just waited and waited and waited. And when she opened the door, there I was, just standing right there. You know, I mess with people. And that's how I think. But you know what? All the things about this glorified body, I don't know. I don't know. But we know from the scriptures, it's a glorious body. It's incorruptible. It'll have no sin. It'll never die. It'll be a body that pleases God. You know, it's going to be able to eat. You're going to be flesh and bone, not blood. The Bible says blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's going to be a flesh and bone body. Are there many things, questions in your mind still? What's it going to look like? Will we recognize? I mean, there's still a lot of questions. But at the same time, those are the things given. And because we have the promise of that, the Bible says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for this study here that you gave us this morning about the glorified body. We thank you for the promise of it. And Lord, we know there's some very neat things that it'll be able to do. Lord, the powerful things, the incorruptible things, Lord God, just the fact that it won't never sin and it won't never dishonor you and it'll be a glorious body. We thank you for that. We also thank you, Lord God, that you gave us this promise. Help us, Lord God, to take this to heart, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.